second most valuable fruit grown in the United States behind the orange. Newton Pippin apples were the first apples exported from America in 1768, some of which were sent to Benjamin Franklin, who was in London at the time. In 1730, the first apple nursery was opened in Flushing, New York. One of George Washington's hobbies wasn't chopping down cherry trees, but was pruning his apple orchard. I like this one. America's longest-lived apple tree was reportedly planted in 1647 and lived until it was hit by a derailed train in 1866. That's a long-living apple.
And kind of like what Lance said earlier, they live for a long time. If anybody's curious about all of our apple trivia, go to azfb.org. It's in our blog section.
Takes 36 apples to create 1 gallon of cider. And this was interesting, the energy from 50 leaves to produce one apple, which is interesting because don't apples produce only on new growth, Lance?
Yeah, they need to be a year old before they produce. So the wood has to be a year old growth, and then they rotate from year to year.
You know much about your apple trees, Romy. How many are you growing in your little mini farm?
I believe I have 4 Annas and 2 Golden Dorsets.
Oh. So, Lance, are you enjoying what you do? And the family enjoys it, obviously. That's why they got in the business. And do you guys eat a lot of apples?
We have a lot of apples here. And, we enjoy what we do. That's why, you know, the long days are also enjoyable days.
Yeah. And, Wilcox is usually always a couple degrees cooler in the summer than other parts of Arizona, so you guys picked the right place, right?
Well, yeah, we have to. That's why they grow here. We have to have the, as you spoke earlier, the chill hours. Last year we got excellent chill, good winter rains. So we're always at least, usually 10 degrees cooler. I just looked a minute ago. We're 83 degrees right now here at the orchard.
And Briggs & Eggers has a website, but, you know, because you guys are experts in apples, what are some of your favorite recipes? And I want to say you might even have some on your website, correct?
No, we don't have any on our website. We just try to get people to understand what we do and what's available here at the orchard. Of course, you know, our favorites, you got to have apple pies.
Got to have apple pie, but I bet you're ready to pick and chow down into one right off the tree, correct?
Oh, yeah. I mean, one thing that if you buy our apples in the store, a lot of the apples have been only a week off the tree. We move and try to get things shipped here quickly. So everybody always tells us how good our apples are. Well, the one reason they're good or tasty is because they're fresh. So that just off the apple tree flavor is there.
Now, how do you thin your apples? Because that's a big part of getting large apples. If you left them on the tree by themselves, you'd have a lot of, let's say, like a golf ball size apples. But to get that good
no
cherry size apples, if you left them alone.
That's correct. You know, each blossom wants to have 5 apples. And naturally, they'll thin to maybe 2 or 3 and sometimes singles. But because we're organic, we cannot use chemical thinners to reduce the size. So all the thinning is done by hand to get that larger size apple.
So are you thinning as it's blooming or after it's already into production?
Yeah, we wait until the apple is about, the size of a cherry. And then we'll go in and the stems will snap really easily. Before then, they're pretty rubbery, so you can't snap them. And that's something people need to understand, that if you grow apples, you got to thin them. It hurts to see those apples fall to the ground. But to get the size of the apples, like you were saying, not golf ball apples, you must thin.
Now, what do you do with all of those apples that you thin? Do you just drop them right onto the ground and let them, you know, organically compost right underneath the tree canopy? Or are you taking them out?
No, that's exactly what we do. We let them break down and kind of mix them back into the soil for organic compost.
As good as they are for the soil, they're also good for us. One of the nutrition tips is don't peel your apples. Two-thirds of the fiber and lots of the antioxidants are found right in the peel. Antioxidants help to reduce damage to cells, which can trigger some diseases. In fact, apples are an excellent source of fiber. One medium apple contains 5 grams of fiber, including the soluble fiber pectin. So eat your apples with the peels on them.
I liked your, I got to find it again, but the apple a day keeps the doctor away was originally phrased slightly different. It's an old English saying, and to eat an apple before going to bed will make the doctor beg his bread.
I like the way we say it now. Lance, so it's still a labor-intensive harvest or like production process and harvest, right? Or how much have we been able?
Oh, yes.
Okay. So where's the mechanization coming in? Is that maybe when you're actually, once they've been picked and in the processing and packing?
Yeah, we have our own packing facility here at the orchard. We pack everything to go to be shipped to the grocery store. We do bags as well. A lot of people see in the grocery store as well as in trays for the larger size apples. And that facility is here at the orchard. We use a computerized line that measures the size of the apple so they can be sorted with a camera and can be sorted very accurately, as well as it measures the color of the apple. So we can sort automatically by the color of the apple. Because you want, when you see the apples, you want to see a consistent color when you open up the box.
So at the peak of season, then, what's the labor required to harvest as much as you guys are producing?
Currently, we have about 30 people in our packing facility, and we have approximately another 30 people out harvesting the apples.
And you have to be careful when you harvest. Something that we learned, we would take a grain bucket when we were thinning our apples. We do let them compost, but they go through a horse processing first, and they come back as manure by the time they make it back underneath the apple tree. But we would put the bucket in the middle, and it was just kind of a game. You would try and throw the apple into the bucket. And so when we were harvesting them later to cook them, we were doing that. We came in, and we've got all these bruised apples. And I'm like, well, the ones we're going to eat, we're gonna handle with a little bit more care. I mean, you've got to, you can bruise them pretty easily. So when you get that apple from the store that's not bruised, I mean, there's a lot of careful handling that goes into that.
So you probably have to have a workforce that really is skilled at picking the right apples and not bruising them.
Yes, it takes it's a very skilled profession. We use a padded bucket, a very special apple picking bucket that is padded so that there's no rough edges where they can hit or bruise them. And then also the bottom of it has a strap that allows them to roll out into the bin. So it's very specialized to try to keep exactly what you described, bruising on the apples.
So as much as we want organic, we want them to look perfect. At least by the time it gets to the store. Americans are spoiled, but hey, we love our apples.
And it's guys like Lance that spoil us.
Yeah. Thanks, Lance, for spoiling us. So what else should our listeners know about a Wilcox apple harvest that we haven't told them yet? Any secret sauce or applesauce?
No, there's nothing really special. It's just that we produce a lot of apples that also go to processing. And our processor is in California, and they make products such as applesauce. They make juice. They make vinegar. And they also make the little pouches or whatever, the little squeeze pouches now that are becoming very, very popular.
Right, for the applesauce. So, but I would say the majority of your apples are actually, they're in the stores whole. They're not really processing them for applesauce as much as, right?
Well, we ship about 40 to 50% of our apples to processing. Because of they're not the right size or they have a blemish. So everything that is sorted out goes to the processing market.
Wow. So 50 to 60%, then we're going to see a whole Briggs and Eggers apple in the store if they don't have any blemishes.
Yes. And we're very particular, like you were just saying, that they must be almost perfect apples that go into the store.
So we know you're going to be partial, but when you compare Briggs and Eggers apples to some of the apples in other states, what do you always say? What's your 30-second elevator pitch when you tell people about, especially somebody that a potential new buyer, what makes your apples so special?
The real reason with our apples is they're fresh. They're not stored. Everything we pick as we start, we move along the season and just move to the next variety as it becomes ripe, then the next one and the next one. Nothing is long-term stored, so everything has fresh off-the-tree flavor. So you'll really get a nice flavor when you buy our product.
And a lot of what Lance is speaking to, especially freshness and availability here in Arizona and the diversity of our agriculture. So, you know, we're talking a lot about our specialty crop products. And I was in California last week going north on the 101, and it's just acres and acres and acres of, you know, vineyards and certainly some almond orchards and some other vegetables. And what's so fascinating, and I kind of feel connected to California just because it's that pendulum swing. Right now, a lot of our leafy greens, baby greens are coming from California, but now our farmers in Yuma are prepping their beds, getting the soil ready for a lot of these leafy greens that once they are have seeded and are growing, then in November we'll begin to harvest in Yuma. And that pendulum swing from California to Yuma in the winter, and it's one of the reasons in Yuma we can call it the lettuce winter bowl of America. And here we have this amazing apple production taking place right here in Arizona. So some of our specialty crops and the freshness of them, that's one thing that makes it pretty unique in the state of Arizona and certainly California. California and Arizona are connected at the hip in that, but that's what makes your production with what you're doing with your apples, Lance, so special and so unique and such a family affair. It sounds like the whole family's involved in this.
Oh, yeah. My wife does all of the bookkeeping. In fact, right now she's weighing trucks that we're loading, and so we're two pretty busy people when harvest starts.
Yeah, and you're front and center of it. So you told us a lot about harvesters, the harvesters that you have to tap into, and then in the production facility. But the work never really ends because apple trees kind of need a lot of tender, loving care, right? What's it like in the dead of winter or early spring?
Well, everybody always says, well, what do you do on your off time? Well, there is no off time. As soon as we finish harvest, we'll start cleaning and managing the orchards and getting them ready for winter. And then as soon as the leaves drop, we'll start pruning. And we'll prune all year long until they start to bloom. And then we have to protect for frost. Because we're high, we have radiation cooling here. And so late March, early April is always a frost time here. And so we have to watch the temperatures. And to protect against frost, we use wind machines that push the cold air off the ground and allows the warmer air to circulate. And then as we move into after bloom, we have thinning, and so we're thinning the apples. And then after we finish thinning, we move into harvest time. So it's a 360-degree circle that we never quite get everything finished.
It makes me think of the horticulturalist that said there's 63 different production steps to take care of an apple tree.
That's a lot of steps.
That's probably.
Yeah.
We'll be back. Final segment in our Farm Fresh Hour right after this.